नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नाष्टाप्रयेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी अमगिनां स्मिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णभ्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवि गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पश्यत्यदेशतारिणे नाम महावदन्ये कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरद्विषये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्तक्यां नमामि भक्तिशक्तिकं हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्राणमामि हरि प्रिय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम
Hare Krishna. So today we are reading Canto 6, Chapter 19, Text 26 to 28. And the chapter is entitled Performing the Pumsavana Ritualistic Ceremony. The text is on the board, I believe. I will be reading 26-27. Kanya chavindeta samagra lakshanam patim tvavirahate kilbishangatim mrita prajaje vasatata neshvari sudur bhagagutsu bhagarupa magriyam vindet virupa viruja vimuchate ya amaya vindriya kalya deham etat patan abhyudaye cha karmani ananta tripti pitridevatanam. And the last one, 28. Please repeat after me. Tushta prayachanti samasta kamam. Homa vasane huta bukshi harishcha. Rajan mahan marutam janma punyam. Diter vratam cha pihitam mahate. Tushtak prayachanti samasta kamam. Homa vasane huta bukshi harishcha. Rajan mahan marutam janma punyam. Diter vratam cha bhitam mahate. Hutak prayachanti samasta kamam. Homa vasane huta bukshi harisha. Rajan mahan marutam janma punyam. Pitir Vartam Cha Bhita Mahate. Wind, please. Prayachante, they bestow. Samasta, all. Kaman, desires. Homa avasane, on the completion of the ceremony. Hutabuk, the enjoyer of the sacrifice. Shikare, Lord Vishnu. Cha, also. Rajan, O King. Mahat, great. Marutam, of the Maruts. Janma, birth. Punyam, pious. Dite, of Diti. Vratam, the vow. Cha, also. Abhihitam, explained. Mahat, great. Te, to you. Translation. If an unmarried girl observes this vrata, she will be able to get a very good husband. If a woman who is avira, who has no husband or son, executes this ritualistic ceremony, she can be promoted to the spiritual world. A woman whose children have died after birth can get a child with a long duration of life and also become very fortunate in possessing wealth. If a woman is unfortunate, she will become fortunate. And if ugly, she will become beautiful. By observing this vrata, a diseased man can gain relief from his disease and have an able body with which to work. If one recites this narration while offering oblation to the pitas and demigods, especially during the Shraddha ceremony, the demigods and inhabitants of Pitriloka will be extremely pleased with him and bestow upon him the fulfillment of all desires. After one performs this ritualistic ceremony, Lord Vishnu and his wife, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, are very pleased with him. O King Parikshit, now I have completely described how Diti performed his ceremony and had good children, the Maruts, and a happy life. I have tried to explain this to you as elaborately as possible. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the sixth canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Performing the Pumsavane Ritualic Ceremony. That's end the sixth canto. Hare Krishna. So the topic of this verse is our desire in bhakti, the transformation of our desire. That the bhakti is a reformatory process in which our desire got reformed. That's bhakti. So here, in this verse, the different benefits of this Pumsavana Vrata are described. Actually, this is a whole range of none but different desires which are fulfilled by this Vrata. It's not like by default the benefits of this Vrata are this, this, and this. No. If we are desiring so, they will be fulfilled. If there is no this desire, they will not be fulfilled. It's very easily to understand. And it's wonderful from either material or spiritual point of view, all these benefits. But they depend actually on our consciousness. And the consciousness is based on our desires. So desires, that what defined all these wonderful benefits. Especially, this verse describes the different lakhs in the family life. Here we have what? Here we have Kanya. Kanya is an unmarried girl who wants to get husband, who wants a good, who want to get good qualities to get him. And then we have the one whose son died, and then this person want to get this child back, and then we want some wealth, and then the one wants some health for diseased body, and to return the beauty of the body which one lost somehow. So everything is possible by this ceremony, and this is not ordinary ceremony. This is not karma kanda ceremony. This is a ceremony endowed with a special feature, with a devotional service. It's devotional vrata. So whatever one desires, it can be get by devotional service. The whole point of this verse is that whatever we desire can be gotten by devotional service. The different samples of these different desires are here, but if there are no material desires in the heart, then what is left? The spiritual desires. And if there is this desire in the consciousness, we want pure love of God, then we can get it very easily by performing our devotional service. And here we have this example of Avira. That's only out of all these benefits, it's Avira, that the lady who doesn't have husband, doesn't have children, who didn't get material benefits, as you may notice here. So she's getting the spiritual benefit. How? It said here that Avira got promoted to the spiritual world, that her final destination. Hata kilbisham gatim. Gatim means destination. And Hata Kilbisha means without fault. So that's final destination. And Srila Prabhupada translates this final destination as spiritual world, right? So that they bought a beach devoid of faults. So Avira to be promoted there also has to be devoid of faults, the person who is going there. It should match, right? Her qualities and the destination which she gets, right? That means she is faultless, right? So what is this fault? The fault of material desires. That's the main fault in our consciousness, and it defines everything else in our life. So how come that she doesn't have these material desires? Yes, because she is so sad, familyless. She doesn't have children, she doesn't have husband, meaning she doesn't have special material attachments or desires connected to these spheres, artha, or material prosperity, and kama, meaning the sense gratification. She doesn't have this field. Therefore, her performing of Radha is not motivated by all these things, and her performing of Radha is motivated spiritually. She wants the spiritual result of her Radha. Therefore, she is given the spiritual result of Radha, right? So normally, the person doesn't have any interest in moksha and devotional service. It's usually because out of this Purusha Arthas, five of them, the very rare person would like to get moksha or pure devotional service. So out of all these benefits which are described here, the eight of them, only this one, Avira, got not material benefit but spiritual one, got pure love of God. Otherwise, she would not be promoted. Therefore, it says that even desire to have this pure love of God is very rare. Therefore, the destination is also very rare. Therefore, the benefit of spiritual kingdom is also very rare. And a few words about the Pumsavana ceremony itself. Normally, Pumsavana, the second out of the 16 samskars which we have for reformation of our consciousness, and which are conducted through whole our life from womb to tomb, like 16 of them. It's the second one, Pumsan. And literally, it means quickening of the fetus, and it's performed for a male child. For what? For long life and good qualities, and also to remove any male issues in the development of this child. So normally, that's a ritualistic ceremony. That's a ceremony of Karma Kanda section of the Veda, nothing else, it's Pumsavana. But this Pumsavana, it's very special, because the purpose of this Pumsavana was also special. Kashyapa Muni wanted to reform the consciousness of his wife, because this consciousness was not pure. It was contaminated by the desire to get child who will kill Indra. It was totally improper motive for performing devotional service, for performing any ceremony, actually, even Karma Kanda ceremony. Therefore, Kashyapa Muni wanted to reform her consciousness. And he introduced in this ritualistic ceremony the direct service of Lord Vishnu, direct worship of Vishnu. Because of course, Lord Vishnu is always a Yajna Book. Yajna Book, the one who enjoys all the ceremonies, right? But in this Pumsavana Vrata, usually the Lord Brahma is a worshipable object. He is the person who is being worshipped by this Pumsavana Vrata. Why? Because he is the father of all Prajapatis. And this ceremony is meant for good progeny. So it's given to Prajapatis to have good progeny to populate the universe. That's the mission assigned to the Prajapatis by Lord Brahma. Therefore, it's naturally they pray to him, they have him as a worshipable object in this ceremony to be able to get all these blessings, all the benefits for these offsprings which they suppose to have. But Prajapati Daksha, he had this authority to adjust this ceremony according to the needs of getting good progeny. Therefore, he introduces direct worship there of Lord Vishnu. And it's amazing fact that usually demigods and Prajapatis, they get children immediately. It doesn't take any time for them to get 1,000 children or 10,000 children. It just like this. It's of no time. It doesn't take any time. But here, amazingly, this child was in the womb of deity for 1 year. It's the most amazing part of this story. Why? Because Kashyapa Muni blessing that was made him being kept there, that the blessing of Kashyapa kept this child in the womb so that he could get all the benefits of the devotional service of his mother performed by Lord Vishnu. All right? So it was special arrangement of Krishna for this child to be rectified and for, of course, deity herself. So thus, normal conduct karma ceremony became the greatest devotional vrata with a prominent feature, its devotional service, direct devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Therefore, it was so successful. All the benefits, they were possible only because devotional service, it was so prominent. Now, just examine the wonder of this devotional service. Diti's motive was completely corrupt. Completely. Her worship of Lord Vishnu was completely for a wrong purpose. What did she want? She want to get a child who will kill Indra, who will be a murderer of Indra. And it was not at all for pleasing Krishna as it should be in Sanatana Dharma. And what was Indra doing? He began serving here, who had completely wrong purpose of her worship of Vishnu. And here, the purpose was terrible. And his approach to her was terrible because he wanted to kill this child who will kill him. So his purpose was wrong. Totally terrible. With this purpose, he was serving the person who had terrible purpose in worshiping Vishnu. And what happened? All of them, they got purified. They got rid of these improper motives in their service. That's a power. They're quite astonishing, actually. Quite astounding, I would say. And not only that, Diti's children were conceived with the mentality of killers. It was already planned. It was there already because it was planned by the parents, by Diti herself. Therefore, they're supposed to come out demons. But because of all this process, they ended up being devotees, 49 Marus. That's another great wonder of this power of devotional service. So it's so purifying. Even we always stress the necessity of pure bhakti or shuddha bhakti, but in this case, the devotional service is so powerful that even with a sinful, tamasic mentality, you can get such wonderful results, as it said in this verse. So most amazing thing about the power of devotional service. And this story is a vivid example of it. And another amazing feature of this story, the deity was completely duplicitous in her dealings with her husband. She started serving him, and she didn't even reveal him the real purpose of this service. Right? She approached him, nothing like this. She didn't let him know her real purpose. And that she wanted the murderer of Vishnu out of the service of her father. So cunning heart of this duplicitous approach was acting. And then Lord Indra came to her secretly and fearfully and enviously and cunningly with all the same bouquet as she has in her approach to Hartman, the same bouquet Indra had when he approached her for service. And he started serving her with this motive, or rather pretend to serve the one who had improper motive and with the improper motive of service. And then what? At the end of the ceremony of all this event, the boss got completely purified of this dupliciousness. There was no even a trace of this dupliciousness anymore. So she was full of duplicity and he was full of duplicity, but they got purified. That's the power of devotional service. And Diti herself admitted this to Indra, that's earlier in the verses, that I was trying to kill you, my dear Indra, together with your 12 brothers Adityas. And she told this with such a sincerity in the heart. Actually, this duplicity and sincerity that are diametrically opposite to each other. Right? So that's the polarities of a duality, simplicity and duplicity. And to turn from one to another, to transform one to another, that's the amazing power this process has to have. And this is process of devotional service, this power of devotional service can turn like mad into gold. And another thing, that now she was so much pleased with Indra, who was so duplicitous, and he wanted to kill her one child. But with what she was pleased in his behavior, because Shukadeva Goswami said she was very pleased with his behavior. What was pleasing in his behavior for Diti? Because instead of one person whom he tried to kill, she got 49 sons. And she totally didn't accept, she didn't even pay any attention to this action of killing in receiving these 49 children instead of this one. So she took only the essence. Instead of one, Indra brought here 49 sons. There was not even trace of this killing in her consciousness. That's why she was so pleased with him. Like, that means she got totally transformed from enmity to love. And we have the saying in Russian, from love to hatred. It's one step, but from hatred to love, that's eternity. You never may even cover this distance. But here it's happening, and it's the power of devotional service. And seeing her simplicity and sincerity, Indra was touched so much that he also admitted to her, "My dear mother, I was grossly blinded by selfish interest. I lost sight of religion. I enter your womb to try to kill your child by cutting him into pieces. I am a fool. Please forgive me." So his duplicitousness also gone because he sincerely admitted this to her. That's the power of devotional service. And not only that, there is another wonder in this story which happened because of this power. Because Indra has this most powerful weapon in the universe, one of the most. That's his Vajra. And this Vajra can strike anything and kill anyone. But here, with this Vajra, Indra couldn't kill even this helpless child in the womb of Diti. He was so protected by the power of Krishna in devotional service. That's an amazing scene about what we are doing here, about this devotional service which we perform. So, devotional service is so powerful and he can transform our desires. And he can eradicate even these desires of sinful activities, which we can see from this verse, from whole this chapter. About Shukadeva Goswami, would like to compare the devotional service with different other method of getting to some kind of perfection. And at the beginning of sixth canto, he described all other things which may rectify our consciousness and to give us, to lead us to perfection. He's mentioned tapasa, brahmacharina, samanacha, damanacha, tedrena, satya, shauchabhyam, yamanani, manacha. All this method, starting from tapasa. Tapasa means what? Austerity, brahmacharya. What is this? Celibacy. And then we have samanacha, damanacha, the control of the mind and control of the senses. Tyaga means to give something in charity. And then satyam, the truthfulness. and Shauchan, the rules of cleanliness, and Yamena-Niyamanacha, the following of rules and regulations in life. All of these processes, as he mentioned, can temporarily purify it of all sins performed with body, words, and mind. But these sins are like the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree, which may be burned by fire, meaning by purifying fire of all these processes. Also, their roots remain to grow again at the first opportunity. What are this? What does it mean? What are these roots which will grow, which will make this creeper grow again? These roots are material desires. They're not going anywhere by these processes. So this process just remove the sinful reactions, the reactions of someone's sin. But then again, at the first opportunity, whole thing, because the roots, the material desires are there, the whole thing, the sinful, the creeper of sinful mentality start to grow again, and then the leaves of sinful activity start popping up again, right? So that's what's happening with all this process. They can remove the sinful reaction, but not the desires. And the desires can be removed, can be eradicated only by devotional service. This is the power of devotional service. And then we have two other different causes of suffering. One is sin. Another is avidya. That's the root cause of any suffering. Avidya. What is it? Avidya? Yeah. That's ignorance. Ignorance of what? Of our eternal position, of our eternal identities as servants of Krishna, right? The avidya is there, and then we are getting new, the false identity, and on the basis of this identity, we develop what? Material attachment, the basis of material desires. So another cause of our suffering, that's bija, that's material desires. This is a what comes sprouting from avidya. And this cause, or material desire, when one acts upon it, it gives sin. It leads the one to the sinful activity, right? So the third cause is sin. And sin itself, it brings two things, prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma means manifest karmic reaction. Yeah, whatever we're supposed to get immediately on the spot. And a thief get cashed and then gets caught and he suffer being beaten and mentally like this. That's prarabdha immediately comes. And then aprarabdha, that's something which is still awaited, like somewhere ahead. And this aprarabdha karma or unmanifest reaction, it's also divided into prarabdha. It's afterwards, we will get it in some time. And what it called samskara. Samskara, that subtle imprint of the event of this sin which was imbibed by me, which was like transferred in my consciousness. And I imbibe this kind of feeling, what I felt, how I felt. It was absorbed by my consciousness. And it's called samskara, or subtle imprint of the event. And this samskara, when it comes out, when it pops out from our consciousness, then it gives what we call karma vasana. And karma vasana, that's the desire of the same sin. I want to have it again, right? And then it brings to proclivity of the same sinful mentality, proclivity, sinful proclivity. That's a subtle material desire. It's not formed yet, it's just proclivity, just some inclination towards this desire. And then we get two bija, two material desires. So, like this, it's a vicious circle that we have here, and the circle of our sufferings here, different reasons of the suffering. But none of these processes can deal with it. It cannot be uprooted by any means. Nothing can help but devotional service. Only devotional service, like a blazing forest fire, able to consume, burn up limitless amount of sinful reactions that Shukadeva Goswami speaks at the beginning of sixth canto, sinful desires, material proclivities, and most importantly, uproots ignorance. Nothing can deal with ignorance. Ignorance is just special prerogative of devotional service. We can deal with ignorance only by the power of devotional service. Therefore, it's the only efficient and effective way to achieve permanent relief from all sufferings. And here we can see the evidence of this, how devotional service acts. Actually, all these benefits, they are reformation of our body. And body itself, that's manifestation of our prarabdha karma, right? Manifest reaction. The manifest reaction manifests as our body. Here we have, we can get back our beauty. So how to get back beauty? It's most amazing thing that strikes immediately, how to get beauty. That someone who is ugly can get beauty back. So this transformation of our body. And it's impossible by any other. What is this beauty, actually? That's also interesting thing, that there are five kinds of beauty. It's not just physical beauty, not just in general person is beautiful, but there are five kinds of different beauties. Or this beauty can be different. We have Rupam, we have Lavanya, we have Saundarya, we have Abhirupata, and finally we have Mardava. So some of them can be restored, like the beauty could be internal beauty, the beauty of the qualities, the beauty of the character, and it manifests itself like Lavanya, the effulgence, which comes through the limbs, the character itself, it gives this effulgence. And then this effulgence itself forms this kind of beauty. The person becomes very effulgent, beautiful, by this nice effulgence of this internal beauty, which comes out. So this beauty is Lavanya. And then we have another beauty, Abhirupata. And when the person, by his excellent qualities, can influence all the people around him. That's another kind of beauty, and it's called Abhirupata. These kinds of beauty, it can be restored. That's how devotional service can change even our prarabdha karma. And all other things which we can get from this, it's also a transformation of our prarabdha karma. But all other methods of getting perfection, they act only upon prarabdha karma, some small portion, unmanifest reaction, which can be eradicated with brahmacharya, tapasa, and whatever we mentioned before. But only devotional service act upon all of them. So everything in our life depends on our desire, right? Because bhakti is like a desire tree. It can get everything, whatever we want. And all this desire actually form the basis of our relationship with Krishna. Why desire is so important? Because on the basis of this desire, we have our relationship with Krishna. If we accept Krishna as our maintainer, as our supplier, right? It establishes some kind of relationship, right? And he will accept this role. Okay, she or he want me to be her or his father, right? To supply something. I will be in this role. It's perfect. It's better than nothing, right? And this establishes this relationship. But when we desire something from the Lord, it brings another kind of danger. What is this danger, someone may say? It depends on our goal. If our goal is Krishna, Dwarakadish, or Vaikunthanath, or Krishna, Aishwarya Krishna, then we can get this kind of relationship with that Krishna by worshipping Krishna with desires. Because desires itself implies that I want to get something, and I want to get from whom? From his Aishwarya feature. He is powerful, he is wealthy, He is opulent and he has all the majesty, meaning when I want something from him, it will be given from his Aishwarya features. That means that by our material desire in bhakti, we establish the relationship with Aishwarya features of the Lord. If we want to Vaikuntha, if we want to Dwaraka, if we want to some other place but Vrindavan, then it's all right. But if we want in Vrindavan, if we want to get Krishna as Shyamasundara and Yashoda Nandana, so we have to get rid of this material approach in our relationship with him. Otherwise, it's impossible to enter Vrindavan. Because the Vrindavan, it's a abode where there is no material qualities. So we cannot enter with our material qualities there. So such worship of Aishwarya aspect of the Lord can satisfy us because we want something from the Lord, right? But it will not satisfy him. And Krishna himself gives the way he sings in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very amazing, and I would like to read it. Krishna speaks, knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and reverence. But devotional, made feeble by such reverence, does not attract me. Meaning, if we serve Aishwarya features of the Lord, it's not attractive for him at all. Then we have to adjust. So Krishna clearly says here that he doesn't want from us to serve his Aishwarya features, meaning with awe and reverence, because Aishwarya means some particular approach with awe and reverence. That's not that relationship which he wants us to have with him. Actually, whole our bhakti is an evolution of different desires and motives. And the essence of bhakti is purifies these desires. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this in Shri Krishna Samhita. So we have four desires in our bhakti, which transform from each to another. Actually, it's a reformatory process of transformation of our different desires. And he explains this, how we come to bhakti to serve Krishna with different motives. But the first, when Krishna was creating this material world, because of his kindness, he defined the purpose behind this material world. What is it? To push the living entity to surrender to the Supreme through suffering and fear of material existence. Because this living entity doesn't want to suffer and doesn't want to be in this material existence, which is so painful from the beginning to the end. So the first reason with which we serve Krishna, I don't want to suffer anymore. I want to get rid of this suffering, and this suffering based on fear of material existence, meaning that suffering gives the fear. And this is the first reason. And then the second reason, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can continue with the fear. Actually, fear becomes our hidden motive in sadhana. It's important to understand, at the beginning, fear becomes the hidden motive of our sadhana. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that it's like in this story of Devaki and her sons, six sons. They're supposed to be killed by Kamsa. So here we have our fear. That's Kamsa personified. Then we have six enemies in the heart, that's the sons of Devaki. Then we have our bhakti, that's Devaki herself. And then fear of this material existence. As Kamsa, he kills in our heart all the enemies. That's what's happening. And then only in the womb comes Shesha Sankarshan, who is spiritual master, to prepare the womb of our bhakti for entering Krishna. That's how it's happening. The fear as a hidden motive in our sadhana kills the enemies in the heart. That's a progressive role of this fear, right? At the beginning it's like this. And then, this is the first characteristic of devotional service, and it's called Klesha Agni, when I am getting rid of this suffering. Klesha means suffering, and Agni means to burn, or to eradicate. So this characteristic of devotional service, it burns, it eradicates all this suffering almost immediately. And then when I don't feel any more suffering, then I am getting to another polarity. This desire to serve Krishna because of fear of material existence transformed into the desire to get happiness. Suffering and happiness. That's how it's transformed. From suffering to happiness. First, I don't want to suffer. And then, again, we are going from one polarity to another. From negative to positive. I got rid of suffering, then I want to enjoy. I want to be happy. That's second motive in our devotional service. I want to be happy. I want some material benefit from Krishna. That's how it works. Again, these two polarities. So, and it's defined by the second characteristic of devotional service. This is Shubhada. After Klesha Agni, all my suffering eradicated, then Shubhada comes. What is Shubhada? Shubhada means auspiciousness, yeah. And auspiciousness means material benefits. So it's expected from this Shubhada. And then this is second one. First suffering, removing the suffering. And then I want to get happiness. And the third desire, gratitude. Because I'm so grateful to Krishna. He made me free from suffering. He gave me happiness. And now I'm grateful to him. And because of this gratefulness, I feel I am obliged to do something for him because I'm grateful. And the third motive, there's a transformation, that how my happiness is transformed in the feeling of gratitude and obligation. I'm obliged to do something because he's so kind to me. He provided everything for me, right? So the gratitude with a sense of duty. I'm obliged to do something for him. And Acharya said that it's the best motive in our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. It's the best motive. And this is the limit of these motives, of these desires in our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Now we come to the point of definition of Vaidhi Sadhana and Raga Sadhana. The three first desires, they form Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Because we have these desires, fear, happiness and duty, gratefulness. They form the basis of Vaidhi Sadhana. Vaidhi means regulated, because these desires are there in my devotional service. They're supposed to be regulated. And this is done by Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. When this pure desire, already pure, I want to serve Krishna out of my obligation. I am obliged, I feel obliged. When it's transformed into attachment to Krishna without any motive, spontaneous, it's already raga. That's the fourth desire in our bhakti. From last limit of Vaidhi bhakti, from the sense of gratitude, from the sense of duty, I come to spontaneous attraction, which is not motivated anymore. There is no desire. I just spontaneously attraction to Krishna and serve him out of this desire just to please him. This is four. Once more. What is first? Fear. The second? Happiness. The third? Duty. Last is? Raga. The spontaneous attraction. There is no any other motives. It's already pure. That's how Vaidhi, from Vaidhi we come to Raga Bhakti. And this is our goal. That's what Krishna mentioned here. All other kinds of love, all other kinds of relationship with living entities, they're not attractive to him at all. Only Raga. That's what Mahaprabhu came to give. It's so attractive to the Lord. And this we can get only by devotional service. That's how it works. And at the end, actually, so the whole bhakti is its natural progression of this desire up to the last one, the desire just to please Krishna. And what is the end? Arjuna asks, if I give all my dharmas, what benefit will I get? Krishna, I will give my very self to you. To you, not to anyone else. This is the greatest benefit of this spontaneous attraction to Krishna, motivated only by the desire to please him. And if you allow, I have a small story to illustrate it, but I will be reading it. That's the last one. It's okay? May I have 2 minutes more? I like this story, therefore I want to share it, because it's so, for me, it's very touching. It happened relatively recently with a Muslim from Afghanistan. Once upon a time, there was a Muslim by the name Ras Khan. Probably some of you heard this name. It's in connection with Vraja, because this pure story of Vraja glory, who was earning his livelihood by manufacturing shoes. Once he came in a shop to buy some spices, and then he saw on the wall a very beautiful picture of Sri Krishna. But Ras Khan didn't know who he was. But the picture raised such a feeling of love that it was impossible even to describe. Ras Khan asked the shopkeeper, "My friend, tell me, who is this lovely child and where he lives?" "His name is Krishna and he lives in Vrindavan, India." "And who are his parents and why do they so badly care about so nice kid? He is barefoot. I will definitely have to sew him a pair of slippers." "But you will have a really difficult journey to India." "It's nothing. I still want to give him a pair of slippers. I cannot tolerate this." "Well, have a happy journey. I can assure you that in India everyone knows this child. Whoever you ask, everyone will tell you the way." So they parted. And without wasting time, Ras Khan went to India. Needless to say how many obstacles he had to overcome. But by the grace of Krishna, he reached India. Ras Khan continued his journey. Following the advice of the merchant, he was showing people illumination of his favorable picture of Krishna. The joke. "Where does this boy live?" Of course, he received an answer by people were somehow strangely looking at him. So he got to Vrindavan. "Tell me, where this beautiful child lives?" he asked Prajvasis, and then pointed the way to the Banka Bihari temple. Approaching the gate of the temple, he stopped. "I am a Muslim. Will they let me in the Hindu temple?" But obsessive desire was not leaving Ras Khan, and he walked up to the gate of the temple. "Hare Krishna, good people, would you be kind to tell me where this child lives?" "Go away. Muslims shouldn't come close to our temples," he got in response. "But I have to see the child. I brought these slippers for him." Ras Khan got nervous and pulled them out of a bag. "Give them to us and we will hand it over to Krishna," said clever Brijbasi. "Oh no, did I come from Afghanistan for nothing? I want to give Krishna these slippers myself." "Well, then sit and wait," said Brijbasi. Ras Khan then sat waiting. He waited and waited and was waiting. And then in desperation he said, "I will not eat or drink anything until you come out and accept my gift." But nobody went out. So the day passed and then night and then another day and night and then a few more days. Initially, Brijbasi were trying to chase him away. Some even threw a few stones at him. But Ras Khan was determined. And then they came up to him and said, "Nobody will come." And then someone said, "You are already completely exhausted. Here is little food and water, take it." But he refused. Gradually, Ras Khan began to lose strength. He was almost unconscious when a little boy with the color of newly formed rain cloud came to rescue him. Where are your slippers? All signs of ecstasy appeared on Raskan's body. The Lord has given Raskana a wonderful poetic ability to write songs in Vrajavas language. So till now, his songs known throughout Vraja, and his samadhi is located in a quiet garden beside Rasastali near Gokula. That is the power of an alloyed desire just to please Krishna. Thank you so much. Tere Krishna. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Grandaraj Chimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.